West Virginians for Life worked closely with West Virginia legislators to do something very powerful. Together, we worked to pass a proposed constitutional amendment, which will be on the ballot for the November general elections. Amendment 1 says, "Nothing in this Constitution secures or protects a right to abortion or requires the funding of an abortion." Its purpose is to cleanse our state constitution from abortion and allow the state legislature to exercise its rightful responsibility for control over the funding of abortion. Abortion would still be legal in West Virginia under federal rulings. What will change is that our tax dollars won't pay for an abortion, except in rare cases when the life of the mother is at stake, medical emergency, reported rape or incest, or fetal anomaly. The people of West Virginia will be able to decide whether or not taxpayer dollars should be used to fund elective abortions. Over the years, taxpayers have paid for nearly 35,000 abortions at a cost of almost $10 million. For elective abortions, for the entire 9 months of pregnancy, for any reason, or no reason at all. As West Virginia citizens, we have a moral responsibility to end forced tax payment for abortion. If you're not registered to vote, you can register online at the Secretary of State's website. It's fast, easy, and free. Go to ovr.sos.wv.gov. You can also register for free at your nearest DMV or using paper forms available from your county courthouse. Please consider hosting a voter registration event at your church or civic group. A couple of laptops in the foyer or computers in the fellowship hall can get a lot of people registered to vote in a pretty short time. Again, the website is ovr.sos.wv.gov. Please get your family members and friends to the polls on November 6th and vote yes on Amendment 1. Visit the website yesononewv.com for resources such as a downloadable fact sheet, to donate online to help educate the public about Amendment 1, and to order promotional materials including yard signs, window clings, t-shirts, and lapel pins. Again, the web address is yesononewv.com. yesononewv.com. We'll never have another chance to stop taxpayer funding of abortion. West Virginians for Life is counting on you to help with these efforts. Again, it is essential that every pro-life West Virginian vote yes on Amendment 1.
Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
My title tonight is The Brightness of God's Glory. I want to read to you from the Old Testament and from the New Testament as we prepare to head into the Word of the Lord tonight. I'll do other reading later or reference or cite other verses later. But if you'll look with me in Exodus chapter 33 and then also in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 1. In Exodus chapter 33 and reading there, would you be patient with me to read just a little bit here tonight from this passage? Exodus chapter 33, beginning with verse 8. "And it came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, and that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And then if you'll look with me in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, and again, I appreciate so much your patience in a somewhat lengthy reading. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and the gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. The brightness. This verse, the writer said that the sun is the brightness of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, amen, of his person. The Lord Jesus is to us tonight the brightness of God's glory. Let's give praise right now. God bless you as you're seated. I pray, God, help me to do a good job in a short time here tonight to bring forth the burden of my heart. I want to draw your attention to some connections in Scripture. Habakkuk 3 and verse 4 says, "His radiance is like the sunlight. He has rays flashing from his hand, and there is the hiding of his power." I want you to notice that word radiance. That is another way that one could translate the word that I just read for you in Hebrews 1 and verse 3, that the sun is the brightness of God's glory. Some translations actually say that the sun is the radiance of God's glory. In the Old Testament, we find that there is a phenomenal manifestation of God to Moses. And yet the Bible says in more than one place, no man hath seen God at any time. In the Garden of Eden, there was a phenomenal manifestation of God's presence. The Bible says that the voice of God came in the cool of the evening and walked with Adam and talked with him. And there was some kind, we can't really comprehend it. There was some kind of manifestation of God's glory that Adam was privileged to partake of and to commune with and to realize and to perceive. And yet the Bible says in more than one place, no man hath seen God at any time. It's fascinating to me that the Bible indicates that a visible manifestation of God's glory had come down in the form of a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And in this instance that I read for you in Exodus, the Bible says that the cloudy pillar came down, and this cloudy pillar was manifesting. Now, folks, God is everywhere. When we talk about the presence of God, what do we mean? There's nowhere I can go. There's nowhere in earth or below the earth or above the earth. There's no way I can go. There's nowhere in outer space I can go that God is not there. What do we mean when we say the presence of God is here? What we mean is that God has allowed a special dispensation of manifestation of his power, manifestation of his grace, manifestation of his glory. It's not that God is here and he's not there. God is everywhere. He doesn't just fill the universe. He's bigger than the universe. The universe is inside of him. God is everywhere in any way that you can even define everywhere. And yet God is able to manifest his glory and his presence in special ways that's different here than what's over there. Hallelujah. And Moses gets to hear the voice of God coming to him from a burning bush that's on fire, yet it's not consumed. Moses gets to hear the voice of God coming from a cloudy pillar, and he stands there in front of this cloud. God does not have a body outside of the body of the man Christ Jesus. God is incorporeal. If you're thinking you're going to get to heaven and you're going to see God over here, God the Father over here, looking like a man, and Jesus, the Son of God, over here, and then another person looking like a man over here, that's the Holy Ghost. You don't understand. The Scripture indicates God is a spirit. God is invisible. God is everywhere. Revelation 4 tells us that when we get to heaven, we're going to see one throne and one seated on the throne, and that one is Jesus. And the Bible tells us that when he sits down on that throne, that is the throne of God and the Lamb. I'm telling you tonight, the only way you're really going to see God's glory is to see it in the face of Jesus. And when we get to heaven, we're going to see the glory of God around the throne, and seated on that throne, right in the middle of majesty, right in the center of the glory of God, is going to be the man Christ Jesus. And that is how we will see God, by seeing the glory of God in the express image of God in the man Christ Jesus. But how is it that Moses could talk face to face with a manifestation of God in the form of a cloud and say, "Show me your glory"? In some degree, I wonder if God had to stop himself from saying, "What on earth do you think I'm doing right now? How is it that the God that created the cosmos could go out of his way to manufacture a temporary manifestation in a cloudy pillar and cause an utterance of his voice to audibly come forth from a certain location on earth so that it seems to come into Moses' ears right out of the cloudy pillar? And after all of that, Moses looks at the manifestation of God and says, "Show me your glory." Only thing I got to tell you is the guy had guts. He had, I guess maybe the Jewish word is chutzpah. What kind of man is this? You know, there may be a lesson there that we can learn, that no matter how much we've already seen his glory, we can still be hungry for more. But I'll tell you this, you better be careful about saying that you've never seen the glory of God. I want to read to you some more verses from Exodus. I've already read to you from Exodus 33, but I want to read to you from Exodus 24. As you know, the first five books of the Bible were written by Moses. Exodus chapter 24 and verse 15 and 16. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Folks, do you catch that this is in chronological order? This happened in Exodus 24, and in chronological order later in Exodus 33, the man who was experiencing this says to God, "Show me your glory." You got to hand it to him. You know, it'd be like getting the world's best magician to show you his best magic trick and saying, "That was really good. Now show me what you really got." But the thing is, there is no limit to God's glory. And that you cannot plumb the depths of his majesty or of his wisdom or of his knowledge or of his power. No matter how much of his glory we have already been privileged to see, we can still with humility say, "Lord, can you show me some more of your glory?" And how gracious he is not to scold us for that. Amen. In Psalm 24, the psalmist writes, Psalm 24 and verse 7 and 8, the psalmist writes, Lift up your heads, ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. I want to preach to you tonight, no matter what heartache or circumstance or horrific trial you're going through right now, I come to preach to you tonight, if you will lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your salvation, God can manifest his glory in the midst of your circumstance. God can reveal himself in the midst of your sickness. God can show himself strong in the midst of your trial. And God can bring you victory. Amen. We are in an ongoing process of seeing God show himself strong in every way. I want you to contrast this. In the Old Testament, Moses said, "Show me thy glory." But in the New Testament, in John chapter 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word." That Greek word logos means the plan of God, the intention of God, the blueprint, so to speak, in the mind of God. The logos is God's plan, our word, our intent. In the beginning was the Word, the logos. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh." Or in other words, God's plan was made a man. "And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You hear me tonight. If you know Jesus Christ, don't you dare say that you have never seen God's glory. Everyone who has experienced the gospel and obeyed it through repentance and water baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost has seen the glory of God manifested in your life. Amen. And so, look at what Jesus said in John chapter 11, verses 40 through 44. The scripture says, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. Folks, right at that moment, they saw the glory of God. Elder Zach, come out here. Folks, I want you to know, every human being that sees this man walk into their life on any given day when he should have been buried in a grave, you are seeing the glory of God. When you see a miracle of God, you are seeing the glory of God. I want you to hear me. The Bible teaches us we need to be very careful to give God the glory for the things that he deserves glory for. If it's the work of God, we don't need to pretend that it wasn't. Every last person on this earth, that when they hear about this, they don't say the word miracle. They can't bring themselves to say that the hand of God was in it. They are taking glory that is God's and they are taking it away, and that is a travesty. I want you to know we give God the glory for raising this man up.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Folks, every morning when my feet hit the floor, the only thing that can come out of my mouth is thank you, Jesus. Because it was 6 years ago that I should have been 6 feet under. I should have been in a grave. As a matter of fact, the doctor stood by and they said he's not going to make it. But the day after I got struck by lightning, they came into the waiting room where my family sat, and they said, we don't know how, we don't know why, but he's breathing over top of the breathing machine. And from that moment forward, God performed miracle after miracle, and things began to change, and God continued to show. We serve a God that is alive forevermore, and he deserves the glory for everything that happens in my life. That situation has opened my eyes to the fact that my job is not my job, but it's his job. He's just entrusted me with it. My car is not my car, but it's his car. My money is not my money, but it's his money. My family is not my family, but it's his family. And he's entrusted us. He's blessed us with so many things, and it's our job to give him glory. Let's do that tonight.
If you have, the old timers used to say, I don't know why they said it, but they must have seen something in geese. They said, he doesn't have the sense God gave a goose. Maybe it has to do with the fact that geese are gifted to be able to migrate, and they have this GPS system in their brains. I don't know why the old timers said it, but they say, so he doesn't have the sense God gave a goose. If you have the sense God gave a goose, and you know that that's not just some kind of coincidence that he's not in a grave, but that the hand of God did a miracle, I want to ask you to stand with me and let's give God glory. We don't have time tonight to hear every testimony, but right over there says Elder Claypool, miraculously, instantly healed by God from celiac disease. There is no cure, but yet God cured him. We give God glory. Right back there, Sister Norma McLean,
instantly, miraculously healed from lupus. There is no cure, yet God cured her. We give God glory. But you hear me tonight. Every one of you that has been given the gift of repentance. Repentance is not some work you can stick your chest out and feel how good you are. Look what I did. I repented. The Bible says it is a gift. The scripture says in Titus, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. It's by his grace that he saved us. Repentance is not some work I can be proud of. It's a gift from God. Every one of you that has been given the gift of repentance and has been given the gift of water baptism in Jesus' name, which those two together bring about remission of sins, and every one of you that has been given the gift of the Holy Ghost, you have a miracle greater than being healed of lupus. You have a miracle greater than being healed of celiac disease. You have a miracle greater than being raised from the dead after being struck by lightning, and you need to be giving God glory. God bless you. I want you to understand Jesus said that if you can believe, you will see the glory of God. And that means that when you see those miracles, you have seen the glory of God. Amen. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 1, he said, I heard a loud voice.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.
West Virginians for Life worked closely with West Virginia legislators to do something very powerful. Together, we worked to pass a proposed constitutional amendment, which will be on the ballot for the November general elections. Amendment 1 says, nothing in this constitution secures or protects a right to abortion or requires the funding of an abortion. Its purpose is to cleanse our state constitution from abortion and allow the state legislature to exercise its rightful responsibility for control over the funding of abortion. Abortion would still be legal in West Virginia under federal rulings. What will change is that our tax dollars won't pay for an abortion, except in rare cases when the life of the mother is at stake, medical emergency, reported rape or incest, or fetal anomaly. The people of West Virginia will be able to decide whether or not taxpayer dollars should be used to fund elective abortions. Over the years, taxpayers have paid for nearly 35,000 abortions at a cost of almost $10 million. For elective abortions, for the entire 9 months of pregnancy, for any reason or no reason at all. As West Virginia citizens, we have a moral responsibility to end forced tax payment for abortion. If you're not registered to vote, you can register online at the Secretary of State's website. It's fast, easy, and free. Go to ovr.sos.wv.gov. You can also register for free at your nearest DMV or using paper forms available from your county courthouse. Please consider hosting a voter registration event at your church or civic group. A couple of laptops in the foyer or computers in the fellowship hall can get a lot of people registered to vote in a pretty short time. Again, the website is ovr.sos.wv.gov. Please get your family members and friends to the polls on November 6th and vote yes on Amendment 1. Visit the website yesononewv.com for resources such as a downloadable fact sheet, to donate online to help educate the public about Amendment 1, and to order promotional materials including yard signs, window clings, t-shirts, and lapel pins. Again, the web address is yesononewv.com. yesononewv.com. We'll never have another chance to stop taxpayer funding of abortion. West Virginians for Life is counting on you to help with these efforts. Again, it is essential that every pro-life West Virginian vote yes on Amendment 1.